So welcome to Local News and Features. It's Timbo with you, but I am joined for the first time in a while, which is quite exciting. We have Liz and Kath, who are reading together in the same room. It's none of this like somebody's recording in a bedroom and somebody's recording in a kitchen, which happens now. Especially on radio now. On radio, half the people aren't even in the radio station. Okay, so we're going to have some headlines for you, and then we're going to go into Liz's one and only quiz with 11 fascinating general knowledge questions that will make you think. So headlines first. So Liz, what are your headlines?
The controversial vision for a North Staffordshire Super Council and a new elected mayor.
And you're going to do that in the middle because it's quite a long
one.
Yeah,
that's all one.
Yeah, because it's quite a long, long story. So you'll need a cup of tea for that one, everybody. And Kath is going to be the sandwich in between that. And her story is...
No, I'm the sandwich in between. Well, I'm the sandwich
filling. No, she's the bread which makes the sandwich. Anyway, okay. So Kath...
Well, I've been called some things, but bread...
You're the two pieces of bread with Liz in between. So off you go. So what are your stories coming?
Pregnant mum 20 and family forced to live in lounge of mould-covered council flat. And wonderful mum's Royal Stoke death may be unnatural as police investigate.
Wonderful. So now it's time for our one and only quiz with Liz. And she has 11 general knowledge questions for you, so fire away.
Right, number one. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are ill-fated courtiers in which Shakespeare play? Number two. What common name is given to the crane fly on account of its long, spindly legs? Number three. Which conflict was known as the Great War? Number four. The Neolithic Long Barrow, I can't read this because it's creased, Wayland's Smithy, and the Uffington White Horse can be found in which county? I got that wrong, even though I've seen them both. Number five. In which former country was tennis player Martina Navratilova born? Number six. What name is given to the lower house of the British Parliament? Number seven. In which mountain range does the Colorado River rise? Number eight, of which fruit is the morello a variety? Number nine, in the Old Testament, which miraculous food sustained the Israelites in the wilderness? Number ten, which Belfast-born musician became principal flautist with the Berlin Philharmonic in 1969? And my bonus... Which organ of the human body produces and secretes bile? And that's my quiz.
Wonderful. Well, keep listening because coming up towards the end, we'll have the answers for you. But now we are going to kick off with stories. And Kath is going to do the first one for us, followed by Liz. And then she's going to finish off batch number one of Local News and Features. Over to Kath.
So, pregnant mum 20 and family forced to live in lounge of mould-covered council flat. A young family are crying out for help after a serious mould problem has forced them to sleep in the living room of their two-bed council flat. Tony Lee Hardy and her partner, Leighton Alcock, say they are scared for their health. Tony, age 20, says she first spotted the damp back in November 2023. A council worker came to inspect the Blurton property in December that year, but no action was taken to stop the mould until July 2024. The mould soon returned in October 2024, and although council staff repainted the walls last November, the flat was covered again in a matter of weeks. Now the couple are seriously concerned for the health of their two-year-old daughter. Tony told Stoke-on-Trent Live, "It's everywhere. There's big patches in the corners of every room, and all of my decorating has just been destroyed. My daughter's room is covered. They've painted the rooms, but it just keeps growing back. We are now sleeping on the floor because of how bad it is. I've asked for a move, but they've told me that my flat is suitable to live in." but my daughter is constantly poorly, my partner's poorly, and I'm coughing and throwing up all the time. It's just so stressful. I go to bed some nights crying a lot because I can sit up and hear my daughter coughing and gagging. It's affected my partner quite badly as well. He doesn't speak a lot about it because he gets very angry about the way things are. We're all trapped in the living room and we don't have our own space anymore. I am very worried for my daughter's health. I read up on the 2-year-old boy who died because of mould in Rochdale. It worries me to the point where sometimes I think I'm going to lose my own daughter. Tony's worries doubled when she discovered she was pregnant back in November. She is worried the home is not fit to house another child. She explained, "I'm really scared about bringing a newborn into this environment. I've thought sometimes that I don't want to carry on with the pregnancy, but it's not in me to have an abortion. I'm a high-risk pregnancy too. I had preeclampsia syndrome with my last one, which made me have a premature birth. So this baby could be early too. I don't want to bring another baby into this when I can't make my current child safe from the mould." Now the young couple are appealing to Stoke-on-Trent City Council to provide a permanent solution. Tony added, "I'd like to be moved. They've done all the painting, but it just keeps growing back, so it's not working. And before they move anybody else in here after we've gone, I'd like them to tackle the root of the issue and make sure it's sorted. I think the way the council has handled the situation is terrible. Because I'm young, they think I don't know what I'm talking about. They'll just come out and look at it and say it's done. That's it. You're sorted. I've phoned them many times. They need to take my concerns seriously and take everyone's concerns seriously. Not just fob you off because you're young and they think you don't know what you're talking about." The pair have reached out to Alison Gardner, Labour MP for Stoke-on-Trent South, to intervene in the case. Mrs. Gardner commented, "I was concerned to read about Tony and Leighton's situation when they reached out for me for support regarding the mould issues in their home. With the couple expecting a child and already caring for their 2-year-old daughter, it is essential that they have a safe, healthy and comfortable living environment. No parent should have to worry about their child's well-being due to housing conditions. It is worrying that some families continue to face these challenges, particularly given the health risks associated with mould exposure. Every child deserves to grow up in a secure home, free from hazards that could affect their development and well-being. I welcome the steps Stoke-on-Trent Council has taken in recent months, including the adoption of a new damp and mould strategy to tackle these issues more effectively. The government is also working closely with local councils to provide funding and support, alongside the introduction of a WABS law, which will require social landlords to investigate and resolve dangerous damp and mould within a set time frame, as well as address emergency hazards within 24 hours. I have formally written to the council to raise this case and to ensure that families like Tony and Leighton receive the support they need. I look forward to their response and I will continue to push for improvements so that all families in my constituency can live in safe and secure homes." A Stoke-on-Trent City Council spokesman said, "Our operatives have previously attended the property to treat damp and mould in the bedroom. During a follow-up visit, it was established that further work is required, and we are now liaising with the tenant to get the issue resolved as soon as possible. The work is due to start on Wednesday, February the 19th.
Okay, so over to Liz now, who's going to do her long story in the middle of batch number one.
Okay, this is quite long, but bear with me because it's important. The controversial vision for a North Staffordshire Super Council and a new elected mayor. One Super Council in North Staffordshire, another covering the south of the county, and a new elected mayor wielding devolved powers. This could be the future of local government in Staffordshire. The government announced in December that it would be carrying out the biggest overhaul of local councils in England since the 1970s. As well as bringing devolution to every part of the country. Two-tier local government would be replaced with a single layer of unitary authorities, which the government says would lead to more effective and efficient local services. and combined authorities with devolved powers in areas such as transport and economic development would be set up everywhere. Existing councils have been invited to come up with their own proposals for reorganisation and devolution, although they will have to meet certain criteria imposed by the government. Stoke-on-Trent City Council has now published its plan for how unitarisation could be achieved through the creation of a single council covering Stoke-on-Trent, Newcastle and the Staffordshire Moorlands. The City Council's report, which will be discussed by Cabinet members next week, say these proposals will satisfy the government's requirements while also saving local taxpayers money and supporting economic growth. And the City Council is now also supporting the idea of an elected Metro Mayor as a way of bringing more devolved powers to the area, an idea which was previously opposed by all authorities in Staffordshire. Here is a rundown on what the City Council is proposing. Now, they're proposing a North Staffordshire Council. At the moment, Stoke-on-Trent City Council is the only unitary authority in Staffordshire, with local services in the rest of the county being split between Staffordshire County Council and the eight district and borough councils. The City Council's preferred solution would effectively see the existing unitary authority expand to take in Newcastle and the Moorlands, leaving the rest of Staffordshire free to form a separate unitary. Newcastle Borough Council, Staffordshire Moorlands District Council and the City Council would all be absorbed into the unitary, which would also take on powers currently wielded by the County Council. Importantly, the North Staffordshire Council would cover a population of around 480,000 people. The government has said that the new unitaries should aim for a minimum population of 500,000. A key part of the City Council's argument is that North Staffordshire already forms a coherent socio-economic whole, with people travelling across the area's council boundaries for employment, education, shopping and leisure every single day. The report states, "Today, the urban landscape of Stoke-on-Trent and Newcastle is so entangled that an aerial view shows a terrain absent of any inner urban boundaries. Visitors to Stoke-on-Trent by motorway and primary roads are mostly compelled to travel through Newcastle's territory to reach city destinations. Newcastle town centre is less than 4 miles from the city centre, identical to the distance separating Tunstall and Longton by road. In addition to the territorial mix, the district's communities have been bound by employment, commerce, culture and recreational pursuits for generations." The report says that a single unitary authority would be able to maximise North Staffordshire's economic strength with a vastly improved inward investment offer compared to the existing councils. But it argues that North Staffordshire's existing polycentric landscape could be preserved under a unitary, with town and parish councils still playing a key role and the continuation of traditions such as ceremonial mayors. Council chiefs believe that a North Staffordshire unitary could also mean better, more efficient local government. Stoke-on-Trent currently suffers from a low council tax base, with 93% of properties in the city in bands A to C, which makes it difficult for the City Council to raise enough funds to pay for its services. According to the report, including higher band taxpayers in Newcastle and the Moorlands would help rebalance the financial base, making the new council stronger and more resilient, and reducing the inequality between Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire. But this may be seen as less of an improvement for residents outside Stoke-on-Trent. The report says that the larger council would also achieve economies of scale and save money on senior management. The council estimates that the North Staffordshire unitary would have a net budget of just over £500 million, with significantly less reliance on government grants. The rest of Staffordshire. The report says that while the City Council supports the idea of a North Staffordshire Council, it can be relatively agnostic with respect to the rest of the county. It suggests there is considerable support for a matching unitary in the south of Staffordshire, which would presumably include Stafford, East Staffordshire, South Staffordshire, Tamworth, Cannock Chase and Lichfield. But the report says that a North Staffordshire unitary, which also includes some or all of Stafford and or East Staffordshire, is an option which merits consideration. Various other options have been ruled out by the City Council. A Staffordshire-wide unitary, including Stoke-on-Trent, with a population of 1.1 million, would simply be too large. The report says Staffordshire as a whole is not a functional economic area, and retaining the existing Stoke-on-Trent City Council alongside a separate Staffordshire unitary, similar to a recent reorganisation in North Yorkshire, would fail to meet the government's requirements and would merely exacerbate the current inequality between county and city. Stoke Civic Centre, devolution and an elected mayor. In its English devolution white paper, the government stated that it wanted combined strategic authorities, with or without mayors, to cover all of England. At the moment, just 60% of the country is covered by a devolution deal. Strategic authorities will cover two or more of the new unitaries, and councils have been told to consider this as they come up with their proposals for reorganisation. The government says that while combined authorities with elected mayors will not be mandatory at this point, they will receive far more devolved powers than those without mayors. Stoke-on-Trent City Council has now, for the first time, expressed its support for a mayoral strategic authority, saying this will maximise the extent of devolved powers and resources from government. The idea of elected mayors has been politically toxic in Stoke-on-Trent since the City Council's short-lived experiment with the concept came to an ignominious end in 2009, although the proposed Metro Mayor will be a completely different position. The Council's report says that much more work will have to be carried out on the structure and geography of any mayoral strategic authority, but it includes four potential options, all of which assume the North Staffordshire Council will happen. Staffordshire County Strategic Authority. Now, this would be able to build on existing relationships and structures, but its 1.1 million population would fall short of the 1.5 million required by the government and so would need a special exemption. The other three options would meet the 1.5 million threshold. Cheshire and North Staffordshire Strategic Authority. According to the report, this option would maximise the economic flows towards Greater Manchester and Merseyside, but the three Cheshire unitaries are already set to form a mayoral strategic authority, and admitting North Staffordshire at a later date would cause considerable complications. North Midland Strategic Authority. This would see North Staffordshire join forces with Derbyshire, Derby, Nottinghamshire and Nottingham in an expansion of the existing mayoralty. The report says this option could exploit the full potential of the A500-A50 economic corridor. Staffordshire, Shropshire and Telford Strategic Authority. According to the report, this option makes much less economic sense, but may have to be considered as a way of ensuring no area is left without a strategic authority, another of the government's requirements. What happens now? The Staffordshire Councils will need to submit interim proposals for reorganisation by the 21st of March, with the final proposals due by November. The government has told the councils that they should make every effort to agree a single set of proposals, although it accepts that this may not be possible in some cases. The interim proposal due next month can include various options. City Council leaders say that while their report sets out Stoke-on-Trent's position, they are keen to work with other Staffordshire authorities. Newcastle Borough Council has already expressed its strong opposition to the City Council's plan for a North Staffordshire Unitary Authority, with Borough leader Simon Tagg describing it as a takeover bid by Stoke-on-Trent. But the Borough Council has yet to produce any reorganisation proposals of its own. The Council passed a motion opposing unitarisation at a recent meeting. Elected members at Staffordshire County Council and Staffordshire Moorlands District Council are due to discuss their own proposals in meetings early next month. A meeting of Staffordshire Leaders Board, made up of the leaders of the county's 10 councils, is scheduled to take place on the 6th of March. Prior to the government's white paper, the Leaders Board submitted its own devolution proposals for Staffordshire, which did not involve an elected mayor or local government reorganisation.
That's a fine example of staying power there from Liz.
It is.
And over to Kath, who's going to finish off batch number one for us with a little story.
Wonderful Mum's Royal Stoke death may be unnatural as police investigate. A Wonderful Mum's death may have had an unnatural cause, an inquest heard. Emma Jane Jones, 47, known as Emma Williams, was taken to the Royal Stoke University Hospital following an incident on February the 6th, where she later died. A coroner opened an inquest into the cause of her death. Kate Robinson, senior coroner for North West Wales, said there had been an incident involving Ms. Jones on Anglesey. She was taken to the Royal Stoke, where she passed away on February the 9th. Her death was confirmed there by an advanced critical care practitioner at 1:46 p.m. that day. She was identified according to hospital protocol. The coroner said, "The death was referred to me because the incident involving Emma had occurred in my area. Police investigations are ongoing in respect of her death. I have reasonable cause to suspect that the cause of her death is unnatural." She adjourned the inquest to a later date. In a tribute issued by her family following her death, Emily was described as a very bubbly, caring and loving person to be around. They said she was a wonderful mother, sister, aunt and a great friend to so many people. Emma adored her son Tommy and loved him unconditionally. He was the most important thing in her life. To Tommy, she was not just his mother, but his best friend. Emma's brother Chris added, "Emma and I had a wonderful childhood full of fun and laughter, blessed with caring and loving parents. We remained very close. Family was very important to Emma. I will always miss her smile, laughter, wild spirit and infectious energy." Emma's parents said, "Emma touched so many lives with her kindness, caring and loving nature. She was a loyal friend to many. Her witty sense of humour brought laughter wherever she went." A 54-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of wounding in connection with the Anglesey incident. He has been bailed pending further investigations.
Wonderful stuff. So keep listening. Got some more news stories coming up for you in batch number two.